Hello, my friends. It's Andy and Hattie coming to you live from Yorba Linda, California for the Living Fearless Devotional.
A production of ResurrectMinistry.com, where we're harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel as far and wide as we possibly can. We provide a bunch of resources on the website to deepen your walk with Christ, whether it's worship bands, pastors, books you could peruse, maybe new Bible resources that you want to find. We would love for you to take a look at the content and let us know what you think. Drop us a line in the comment section. We read all of those and respond personally. I've had some very cool conversations with a mom in China about her child. It's just been a fascinating discussion, and it's really such a blessing to us to hear from you. And if the ministry blesses you in any way, you can kick a couple quarters into the donation box. You just click the link and it'll take you right to the donation page, and you can pay for however you are comfortable.
It's like triple the dimes you asked for last time.
Did I triple?
Yeah, we're up to the quarters now.
Did I say quarters?
I think you said dimes the last time.
Oh, I said kick a couple quarters. Yeah, look at that.
All right, so make sure and also comment. And that would be great. You just comment there on the side, and then I bring it up kind of like this little red banner right there. And let us know what you think about the devotional, about anything that we are talking about in relationship to the devotional. Or if you have your own things that you want to talk about, feel free to put those in. If you have questions for Hedia about being formerly an Islamist.
No, I'm a Muslim, a poor Muslim, but not an Islamist.
I don't know why I was going to say that. Or me being a Christian in name only. Let me know. You may have some questions about that. So whatever it is, make sure and put those in the comment section. That would be great. And if you have any prayers, any prayer requests, that would be great. Because towards the end of the show, we will be ending in prayer. And we will include your prayer request in that prayer. And lastly, make sure and get ready in your Bible for Acts 2, 37 through 47. We'll be reading that after we read the devotional. So here we are in A.W. Tozier for the Christian Leader, May 16th. The title is Preach to Make Them Sweat. That would be a very smelly church after a while. It reminds me of King MMA, which is in Anaheim, where my son goes and does Muay Thai and kickboxing.
Kind of stinky in there.
Oh my gosh, the old place. They got a brand new place. I don't know if I told you that.
Oh no.
It's like three times as big.
It's not in La Palma anymore?
It kind of. It's off of La Palma now. But man, however many years they've been there, it's in the walls.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's very, I don't know.
Nelly.
So preach to make them sweat.
Right.
Acts 2:37 is the reference for AW. And it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I preach to my congregation week after week, and I pray that I may be able to preach with such convicting power that my people will sweat. I do not want them to leave my services feeling good. So strange. The last thing I want to do is to give them some kind of religious tranquilizer and let them go to hell in their relaxation. The Christian church was designed to make sinners sweat. I have always believed that, and I still believe it. The messages preached in our churches should make backslidden Christians sweat. And if I achieve that objective, then when I preach, I thank God with all my heart, no matter what people think of me.
Lord, help me to preach with boldness, not concerned with what people think of me. Amen.
You know what's interesting is that I think when I was walking around my old church, as a Christian in name only, as a man walking around the church, I think if I would have heard the messages that I hear now today from Pastor Jack Gibbs and Pastor Bob, I might have sweated.
Which would have been the point?
Yeah, but now I love it. I don't sweat at all.
Yeah, but wouldn't it have been better if you sweated earlier and got convicted?
Yes.
Right? That's the problem, actually. I was listening to... This message is coming across to me in several different ways. So I listen to Jackie Perry a lot, as you know, fire. She's pure fire. And so she's preaching a lot about this problem, about false teachers and nurse of Jesus. And I kind of, because I came from that broken place, I really liked the self-help preachers. Mm-hmm. But then the Lord drew me to expository teaching through Pastor Jack and knowing that I had to fully understand the Bible. Some people get stuck in the whole narcissism of Jesus. But, and so her point is, if you don't stop listening to that self-helpy kind of churchy stuff, then you start to get pieces of the gospel that are wrong. And then you miss Jesus in the midst of the gospel. In other words, we're supposed to read the Bible and go to church to learn more about Jesus, not more about ourselves. But that equation has been turned on its head in American Christianity. And it's all about how you can get better. How do I get holier? How do I get friendlier? How do I become a better spouse? How do I... All those things that are good qualities, but they're not... Oh, shit, this brilliant quote that I'm gonna use. But it's how we get better qualities, but they're not about learning who Jesus is. So this one... this one quote that I just thought was... So she says, I don't want to be a better person and be a faithless person. Let's say you're a better person, but it's detached from God. You're still going to hell. I was like, mic drop. Exactly. Because the churches are teaching us how to be better people, how to have a better marriage, how to steward your money, how to not be angry, how to find joy, you know,
how to be silent,
how to be silent, how all these things about how you can change.
The very reason why we left the church.
Right. But in all of that, she's like, where is Jesus in all of that? She's like, so you have a bunch of Christians walking around as better people, but they're still going to hell.
Right.
Because they're not connected to Christ. So I thought that was pretty deep.
That was really good.
Was it good?
Can you read that one more time?
I don't want to be a better person and be a faithless person. So let's say you're a better person, but you're detached from God, you are still going to hell. In other words, if you have not repented and turned and handed your life over to the Lord as your Lord and Savior, then you're just learning self-help techniques. The gospel has been filtered to you through the lens of how do I get better?
So she is not saying not to be a better person, but don't be a better person at the expense of God.
Of God. That all you're taking out of the Bible is, this is how I get better. Because if I get better, I'm going to get more things. You know what I mean? Like she calls it the neo-prosperity gospel. Because it's not just, I'm going to get a new car like Benny Hinn used to do, you know? Like I'm going to get rich and, you know, God wants me to be rich. The neo-prosperity gospel is all about, I'm going to be real zen. And she's like, she gave these examples of how, like, I have to set boundaries. Like she says, all the Christians on social media are like, you know, these are my limits. I'm setting these boundaries. And she's like, where is that in a love God with all your heart, might, and power and love your neighbor as yourself? Where is I have boundaries? She's like, that is nowhere in the gospel. Right. Set of boundaries. We're going to be talking about a couple of boundaries over here with swindlers, but other than that, there's nothing. That's a made up thing. That my joy depends on not ministering to other people or being nice to people in church because I've set boundaries.
Right. Wow. Hey, Carrie. Nice to see you.
Hi, Carrie. Hey,
Kate is on. She says she's late, but not that late.
No, I think it's late for her. Oh. It's probably like midnight for her. What time is it for you, Kate?
Yeah. She's in Australia, by the way. Carrie says,
parsing scripture last 30 years has led people to think the Bible should make you feel good. And sadly, not about Jesus. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Why don't we go right into Acts 2:37-47.
Right. So this is after Peter has preached his miraculous sermon, and this is the people's reaction. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And then as a result, this is the way they behaved. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to one another who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily of those who were being saved. That does not exist anymore.
No.
And just the idea, and that's juxtapose that to what I was saying. Pastor Jackie was complaining. I mean, Jackie Perry was complaining that, you know, we're just all so selfish. All we think about is, I'm not going to let these people annoy me. I'm not going to let them intrude on my personal space. I have to set limits. But they had no limits, they shared everything that otherwise would have been limited.
Right. You know where that may exist is in these other countries that have
persecution
far less, and the persecution.
Yes.
And yeah, they come and they find a place to meet in secrecy and bring food and clothing for each other and that kind of stuff. That's where you'll see that.
Absolutely.
We're just too comfortable.
Too comfortable.
Yep.
And too selfish.
Right. We think if we don't have the newest thing, then we're being persecuted.
Right.
New pair of bell-bottom jeans. Bell-bottom jeans.
Okay. They're back in fashion.
Yeah, they are.
I kind of have bell-bottom. So ridiculous of an analogy.
Under boot cut, which are similar to bell-bottoms in some ways. Kelly's joined us. Hello, Kelly. Nice to see you.
Hi, Lisa Kelly. Wood. You going to pull it up?
Good to see you. What's that? Oh, the thing?
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay.
Lisa Wood is not saying hi. Oops. It moved.
Carrie says, be saved from this perverse generation. Right? Isn't that funny? When I read that, I was like, oh my goodness. Every generation is perverse. That's as true now as it was 4,000 years, 2,000 years ago.
No kidding. And they didn't even have social media back then when they were perverse.
Right?
Yeah.
Just in the raw perversed.
Kate says,
boundaries are important, reckon. Jesus had his.
I reckon. I want to use that.
I reckon.
I reckon. I want to be using that far more often. Hey, real quick, I just want to, before we go on to the rest of our show, I want to bring up LifeWise, one of our sponsors. Oopsie. Hold on. Stand by.
We're doing commercials in the middle now?
Yeah. Yeah. Trying something new. Either that or I forgot earlier. Oh my gosh. Hold on.
Is this absolutely necessary?
Yes. We need to make some money, Schnugs. How are we going to keep this going? We've got to keep the lights on. Go to livelifewise.tv for a great, great company, Christian-run company, with great supplements if you want to help sleep, or just great vitamins called The One, and StreamYard. Go to getstreamyardnow.com if you want to do a devotional or you want to share some of your wisdom to other people with one of your hobbies or something else that you want to do. So I really like this. I like looking back in some of these devotionals and see where this message like would have hit back then. Like when I was a police officer, you know, how my life would have been different, discipling to the bad guys. You know, my life would have been, I think, a little bit more fulfilling towards God, for sure. Just would have changed so many things, not just in my life, but probably others. And kind of like mine, because some seeds were planted during that period of time that, you know, later on brought us to this point today. Like I said, you know, walking around as a Christian, thinking that what I was getting at that time was what God wanted me to have, when in fact it was what that man on stage wanted me to have to make me feel good. It wasn't necessarily for the goodness of God. To give me more about what his Bible is saying. I left the church with very little Bible.
I mean, there was like one verse in the whole 50 minutes or 45 minutes, you know, at that pace, it would take you an eternity.
So that brings me with saying that, I want to then now bring up 1 Corinthians 5, 11 through 13, which was brought to our attention yesterday by Pastor Bob over at Calvary Chapel East Anaheim.
Well, and so in context to this devotional about making you sweat. So Pastor Bob was going through Deuteronomy 13, which has some pretty, I think we should start with that because that'll explain, we should go Old Testament, then New Testament. So he was explaining how severe some of God's commandments were for the Israelites, just as a point of trying to get them to remember their, I think the best way to explain it is that there should be nothing more sacred to you than your faith. Not even, are you changing it?
Nope.
Okay. Not even their, your relationships, your people, your family, doesn't matter who, nothing is more sacred than your commandments to God. And so these commandments were really intense. I just want to read you one example. We went through 1 through 18, but let's just read 12 to 15. So if you hear it said about one of the towns the Lord your God is giving you to live in, the troublemakers have arisen among you and have led the people of their town astray, saying, let us go and worship other gods. And remember, worship other gods could just be, let's focus on money, let's focus on, you know, the new agey spirituality, whatever it may be. Gods you have not known, parenthetical, then you must inquire, probe, and investigate it thoroughly. Like, don't jump to conclusions, investigate. And if it is true, and it has been proven that these detestable things have been done among you, you must certainly put to the sword all who live in that town. You must destroy it completely, both its people and its livestock.
Why the livestock? What did they do?
Because nothing can be left of that town.
I'm reading that a lot in Judges. And
God was not
just kill the men.
No.
Kill the women and the children and the livestock.
Nothing can be left. And he says, wild. You take the plunder from the town, put it in the middle of the public square and burn it all down as a burnt offering to the Lord. And then the Lord will turn from his fierce anger and will show you mercy. And so Pastor Bob was telling this, that we need to see how seriously God takes holiness and righteousness and obedience and be willing to sacrifice our lives for it and to be willing to call it out. So as we know, the scripture about tying a millstone around your neck, if anything causes you to sin, suddenly of course escapes me, then it's better. Oh, if you cause one of the young ones to stumble, it's better to tie a millstone around your neck and be thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. This is even in the New Testament. It's not only in the Old Testament. And so if we look at 1 Corinthians, and people talk about this all the time, like, don't be judgy. We can't be judgy. Okay, folks, let's go back. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 5, 11
to 13. I get that a lot.
Judgy.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Apostle Paul, right? To the people of Corinth who were a little loosey-goosey. And he says, I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer. So we're talking about the believers. We're not talking about the non-believers. Yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worships idols, or is abusive, a drunkard, or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. So not I will judge them, but you will judge those inside the church that are sinning. God will judge those on the outside. But as the scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you. And again, this is what God was saying throughout time, through the Old Testament, that purge those among you that are sinning. Openly rebuke them. Matthew 18, privately rebuke them if you have a sin against your brother. But you openly rebuke those that are sinning against the church at large. And so we were making a joke last night that, you know, you go to your neighbor's house, your friend's house with a bag of rocks. Be like, hi, just came to have a little chit chat. Bag of rocks to stone them. Ha ha. So, of course, we're not going to take this to its extreme. But the point being, we should take the company we keep seriously. And Pastor Bob made a really big point of that. And he was so delicate about it, but he was trying to tell us, listen, take an inventory of your life. Who around you do you give time to or spending time with that's sinning and you're ignoring it or you're tolerating it? And what could you do to change that?
He ended the message last night. I'm going to get to some other of these things, but he ended it with get radical about removing sin from among you.
Amen.
Radical. We get pretty radical.
I don't think so.
I mean, we don't hang around any of the people that we used to hang around with.
Right, but we didn't.
We cut alcohol out of our.
Right, life. But we didn't. And we, yeah, no, you're right. We left, but we didn't do the open rebuking thing.
No, not that. I'm talking the radical. Yes.
From about removing it from amongst us. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So I don't sweat as much as I used to in church. I mean, I don't sweat based on the message that I'm hearing. I try not to look around and say, yeah.
I can't read. It's hard for me to reach. Oh. Start with Carrie's. Hi, Corrine.
Oh, hi, Corrine.
Sorry. We didn't see you.
Oh, Darcy.
And Darcy. Hi, Darcy.
Sorry, I didn't go up high enough. Hello, Darcy. Yeah. Corrine. And now Carrie.
I've recently been focusing on loving others, regardless of their tomfoolery. Oh. Yeah, it's important in light of what we just read. Yes. Be careful.
You can love them, but you don't need to be hanging around them.
Right.
It's kind of like when Jesus would hang around the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and that kind of stuff.
Yes, that's what people always give as an example.
Yeah, but he wasn't partying with them.
Right. Witnessing to them.
Witnessing to them. Entirely different.
And Pastor Mark Driscoll, we talked about this a while ago, talked about that. Like how do you describe your inner circle, your personal circle, your ministry circle, and your witnessing circle? Like who you do life with. That should have certain qualifications. Mm. These are the people that you do life with, that you pray for, that you frequent and you spend time together. And then you have a ministry circle where you're ministering to people, you're trying to love on them, they're loving on you, but they're not part of your inner circle. And then there's a wider circle that you're witnessing to that are all kinds of people.
Yeah. I mean, at church, you're sitting next to people that you have no idea.
Right.
And so be kind.
That's what I would consider your ministry circle, your church circle. Maybe
prayer. And how many times have we sat next to somebody and then they begin to talk about what's going on in their life? We go, whoa, okay. Let's pray.
Right.
Or come to our home church and see what we can do for you. Lisa is doing the same thing as Carrie. Kate says,
we are commanded to love others, and that's inclusive. Sometimes we get stretched emotionally, and that's our gift. I'm sure we are a pain to others too. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Give some, take some.
Yeah. Lisa says,
the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Isaiah 58:11.
Nice. Wait, what?
There was bestiality in Corinth. What's impala?
Impossible. Let's see. Tell us later on. And Paul is supposed to be animals. Oh. Making animals unclean.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so that's why they had to be destroyed.
Oh. Interesting. Right.
Thank you, Carrie. So she has so much information.
Yeah.
Kate says,
Australia is known and sung about as a sun-scorched land.
Oh, she was talking about earlier.
I didn't know that. Corrine saying, wait, what? Judge? Don't judge? Depends on what scripture you read.
Hope Corrine doesn't mind me sharing this. I think it's going to be okay. Because we know Corrine's a new believer.
Yes.
Well, she may have been
like you.
She's like me, like Christian in name only. But we were at the school board meeting the other day. And they're really getting on our nerves sometimes. And I think she might have said a word that would be considered a curse word.
No. Okay.
And she goes, oh, and she goes, really? I can't cuss. And I go, no, you can't cuss.
I mean, we all try. It's important. Not easy.
I started laughing so hard. I said, yeah. I said, that's where we have to refrain from cussing.
Actually, a friend of mine was on a date and he was trying to explain the same thing to his date, who's also, you know, trying to be a better Christian. She's like, ooh, is it bad to cuss? And he's like, yeah. So she's like, starts trying to control it. And he's like, yeah. Welcome to the club. It's not like all of us were born this way. So,
yes, I sin. Thank God Jesus died for our sins.
Yeah.
Lisa says,
I've been reading a lot of the Old Testament lately, also. Yeah. Fantastic. So much we learn from the Old Testament.
It says so much about Jesus. Every time I read it now, because that's where I, you know, with the 1 year Bible, they spent a little bit of time in the Old Testament, a little bit of time in the New Testament. And I love the way that that is done, because it really brings to life the knowledge of that the Old Testament is as much about Jesus as the New Testament.
Amen.
So I can see it.
Right?
Yeah, it's so awesome. I really love that.
And Corrine's good. The judge, don't judge. And Lisa saying, God has removed most of those people from my life because it's pretty simple and daily interactions are with family. There you go. Simple solution. Impala like a gazelle. Carrie saying, you're not alone, Lisa, but he brings people to my door and I go for it.
Nice. Like Mormons or?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Carrie's, it's funny because that's the way the Lord works, right? She's pretty much homebound because she's taking care of Eddie. But yet random people show up at her door.
Jehovah Witness.
Or no, just like neighbors and other people that have like she's interacted with. It's just to make sure she could polish her skills.
I'm going to put my glasses here so that I could read my own writing because I'm writing on my leg. But I really love these five things here. They're the ways of safeguarding and staying close to the Lord. Pastor Bob says, number one, love and follow him closely.
Amen.
Love that. Two, obey him earnestly.
Yes.
Earnestly, like just diligently. Just
put attention to it. Don't just take it for granted. Don't assume it's just going to happen. Be intentional. Be
active. Yeah. I like that. Intentional.
Be intentional.
I like that word. Number three, listen to him diligently.
Again, same kind of focused attention.
So this is not hearing him. It's listening is taking in the information and doing.
Don't just be hearers of the word, but doers also.
Oh, look at you.
That's from James.
Number four, serve him passionately.
Yes.
Okay, now that's where I need a little work. I can serve him in some ways somewhat passionately. I'm still having the problem of sharing with people that I'm even meeting for the first time. It's coming along, but it's definitely not passionately. How do I work on that? Sometimes I see you talking to somebody and I can see you're passionate with these people that you're meeting for the very first time. And there's an excitement that you get in your eyes and in your face and in your hand motions.
Like that mom from China.
Yes.
Yeah. So cool.
Yes. I gotta drum that up. Not drum it up in a false sense. Like fake it. I don't want to fake it till I make it. I just want to do it.
That comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit because that's not natural to us. That comes from, you know, praying every day, Lord, may I be a blessing to others today. May I be of use to you. May I be of use to the kingdom today. May I expand your kingdom today. It's literally years of repeating the same prayers over and over in one form or another, that I just want to be of benefit to someone beyond myself. And then looking for those opportunities.
See, that's the other thing. do you guys have the same thing? Am I the only one that you have good days and bad days? Like there's days, like it actually comes, like there's a little bit of excitement.
Good days and bad days.
And there's other days like I avoid. Like I can tell this person needs prayer and I walk the other way.
No.
Oh, yes. I'm horrible. I'm a horrible person. I'm a horrible, sinful person. But it's, I can go, oh no. And I try not to wear a shirt that's going to like a magnet for me having to be passionate.
You mean your jeans?
Like sometimes I go, you know what? I'm just going to wear a blank shirt today.
Wait, you never tell me about these stories.
Oh, so yes. Oh,
I look at my Christian shirt like and you run from them.
No. Almost every day that I put on a God shirt, I'm doing it to for attraction.
Okay.
Not attraction to me, obviously. Attraction to be sure? able to get.
Okay.
No, to be able to share. Like God is great. Like,
okay, but do you share?
Do you run? No, I do.
You put the God shirt and then run from the.
Yeah, I like walking into the gym and like leading with my. With my message
and saying
Jesus is great. I want them to see Jesus.
I know, but do you ever have a conversation about it? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not always.
No, not
I see
always.
It. I have a conversation with my presence.
And then when is there times that you run from it?
When I wake up in the morning and think, you know what? I just want to go through the day and just slip through.
Is it because you don't want to be accountable?
I don't know. I just, there's certain days where you just, you dress down.
Yes.
Yeah. But I don't want, see, this is the thing. This is the weird reason I'm reading this because I want this. I want to serve him passionately, period.
Okay.
Not serve him passionately on Mondays and Thursdays.
I'm saying this to you as much as I'm saying it to Corrine and as many times as I've said it to myself. Mm. Is that we do not do it in our own strength. That's why I keep telling you, you have to pray for it. Because in our own strength, we want anonymity. In our own strength, we want to be able to just walk away. In our own strength, we want to just cuss when something pisses us off. But that's what when we pray for it, you do not have because you do not ask. Those who ask shall receive. Those who seek shall find. The doors when you knock shall be opened to you because you're praying for them. Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Spirit in you is working through you to accomplish these things. It's not in your own strength. It never can be.
No.
So you have to start praying for it. Mm.
When it's serving him passionately, the moment happens and then I walk away and say that wasn't even me,
right? Because it's not you. Have you gotten used to yet the point that it's not you? No, you just think it's good days and bad days of Andy. Stop. Wow. Andy's always bad.
Yeah, I get
it's good days and bad. The days the Holy Spirit shines through, and days he doesn't.
Yeah. I have that moment. I get in my truck. I pull down the mirror and I said, "You are awesome." No, I don't. I love that look. At No, I don't. I just go, "Wow!" I go, "That was really God right there." That was I recognize. Okay. I feel it, and I know it. I know that definitely was not me.
Okay, so
I'll say words.
You need to get in the car and tell yourself, That is definitely not me.
I was a vessel. That was me being Joe Biden. I was just nothing but an empty suit. And God used me on that particular thing. Man, I never want to say that ever again. Don't ever let me say that I'm Joe Biden. I would rather have God just strike me. What's this one here? Right.
She has a very lovely things to say to you, Lisa.
Oh, well, how what's this?
I have a great conversation with the Uber drivers that are Christians. Always ask people if there's something specific I can pray for them before I leave the Uber. That's awesome.
I'm in a lot of Ubers, and that's, I think, probably.
Pastor Jack likes that, too. He does it in Uber.
I wouldn't say more often, but I'd say quite often.
Which is funny. That's actually the time when I don't talk.
Really?
Yeah.
I have both. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. There's days like I say, Uber dude, I'm not interested in hearing about your life in India. I don't want to know. And why don't you clean the inside of your car? Because it's disgusting. Doesn't there something that Uber says you have to pick me up? Oh my gosh, New Mexico? Is it almost the dirtiest cars I've ever been in?
Oh, Ubers. No.
Hawaii being the worst. Hawaii, absolutely the worst.
Hawaii, our Ubers are dirty?
We didn't. Not when I was with you. When I was in Honolulu. We went in Honolulu. Yeah. Honolulu was horrific. So are. But yet, other times, great conversations. And Lisa says,
Andy, I think you passionately do all the things you do for the community and the school board and the podcast and the father of five and a great husband. That's pretty passionate.
It's all God. I have nothing to do with any of that.
Honestly, Andy, many have that struggle and me thinking I need to drag them to Jesus and drag them kicking and screaming. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Carrie. That was awesome. Same.
Yes.
Carrie says, and she said, I love that. The shirt is Sharon.
Well, it depends,
Corrine. I'm with you.
You can wear the shirt and be a horrible witness to Jesus, where Jesus is probably saying to himself, can you please take the t-shirt off? Because I don't know what this is doing for me.
You know who I got rebuked by the other day?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Sorry, Corrine knows it, right? It's our friend Jocelyn. She's she's Mormon. Fantastic. She's the one who has the son with Down syndrome, yeah, who gave that great speech at the school board meeting. Fantastic. Great family. I was introducing you to her, and I said, Jacqueline, this is Hedia. And I go, not Jacqueline, Jocelyn. And she goes, okay, I'm going to tell you something. This is Jocelyn, number one, and it's Chernice, not Chernis.
She's like, I am sick of you fumbling.
I'm sick of you not knowing people think, because I almost said Corrine when I met Corrine, and I do that all the time. I wanted to tell her.
My mom calls Alexa her live-in housekeeper of 15 years, Alexi. We've known her name is Alexa.
I want to tell Jocelyn, hey, listen, you're gonna have to get used to this. This is just my kids. I call my kids other names.
I've been smacked in the head 100 times.
Yes, I called them by their friends by other names. It's just who I am. That's my thing. Yes. Sometimes I do it on purpose, and sometimes not really.
So, what's Chernice's proper name? Because I've only heard how you say it. Chernus.
Chernus. I think some. I'd say it different ways.
Oh. Who's at the door? I don't know.
Is that God? And Corrine says,
go through the day and sin away. I get it. Oh, goodness. Many times we get a nudge from God to talk. Other times we wait for the opportunity. Some days people are open. God gets them ready to receive, and you just know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. I got one more. Sorry, I didn't finish the list. Number five. Cling to him tightly.
Yeah.
Cling to him tightly.
Ain't that the truth?
I think that was awesome. Those five things I think I'm going to type out.
Good.
Put on my mirror.
I have it typed up. I'll send it to you.
Do you really?
You know, aren't you efficient? I take notes on my channel. I transcribe on my phone.
No, I'm just going to put this up there. My wrinkled piece of paper with smudges all over it. What do you think about those shoes that they're selling for $200 to $300 that are dirty?
They're
purposefully dirty.
The Golden Goose are $500.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this the other day, but it was on The Five, one of the shows I like on Fox nowadays. Or was it? Was it Jess?
Jesse.
Oh, it was Jesse.
Waters. Jesse Waters.
Those two. Anything that Jesse's on, I watch. He's fantastic. But he was showing these pairs of shoes for $200-something to $500, as Hedy was saying, that are sold intentionally with dirty spots on them. Why would I do
that? Because they're supposed to look worn. See, these are even worse.
I'll just sell them a pair of Rhett's shoes or Bo's shoes.
It reminds me of our friend, right? That she's got that. She's got a whole look that's like that. It's the $1 million homeless look. It's so funny.
The reason I bring that up, it made me think about it, is that I feel like I'm that's the kind of Christian I am. Like, I'm just like, I think that I've God has done an amazing work in me. Got a lot of work to do, and I'm walking around and God sees me as that dirty shoe. Yeah, because I like that shoe. That shoe's worn, been through a whole lot of stuff, but he's still useful. I'm still gonna use that shoe. I feel like I'm an old dirty shoe that is still being worn.
But you're expensive.
And very expensive.
Okay. Why aren't you a thrift shop dirty shoe? That's only $9.99.
Because they're kind of smelly, and you know I'm not smelly. I don't
like smell.
Oh no. I'm That's the one thing I got from my mom.
Can you imagine your husband lying next to you and be like, it's amazing you don't smell bad. Like, that's so strange. Did your other wives smell bad?
Why did you say that?
I mean, that's a weird problem to have. No, right?
Isn't that, aren't you happy about yourself and that I recognize?
To me, that's a given. I don't think that's
not schnugs.
I just had no idea that's not a given. This seems so bizarre to me. How is that possible? Oh boy.
I'm smelling your clothes and your hair, and I go,
yeah. He's just like, you don't smell, and your legs don't feel like sandpaper. Wow. It's really important to keep marriages alive. 4 years in, you gotta be able to appreciate your wife doesn't smell.
The things we share. Yeah, that was after, it was after what, 4 years or 3 years? How long have we been together?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that.
I just wanted you to know.
I think it's important.
The most important reason that I'm, you know, that I'm still here is that you don't smell.
I think so. Look, Lisa says she can't imagine that. Can't imagine a spouse smelling bad or asking about it. Which part? Jackie, actually, I don't know if any of you follow her, Jackie Perry and her husband. It's about the Perry, with the Perrys, their podcast. Mm. She has a problem with depression. So they went through this whole story of her getting this really bad stomach ache, having this really bad anxiety, and him flipping out that maybe because she started crying, and he says she never cries. And so he's just like, oh no, we need to go to the ER in Chicago.
Oh no.
Okay. So he drives an hour and a half away so they don't go to like a real ghetto hospital. Right. And he says, and they sit in there and they start telling their ER story. And it reminded me so much of you and me in the ER. Mm. And he says, there's one person, some lady throwing up in the corner. And then she starts running around throwing up. She's going all over the floor. And he's like, woman, can you just sit down with that?
Stay in one place.
Can you stay in one place? And then Jackie looks at him and says, I think we should go. And he looks at her and he's like, really? I mean, we don't know if there's something wrong with you. And she's like, but is it worth it? And she's like,
to die is Christ.
Yeah. She's like, but is it worth it? And he's like, okay, baby, whatever you say. And she's like, and by that point, mama meds had kicked in. Then everyone's like, wait, what are mama meds? And she's like, when she calls her mom, she's like, mom, did you give me crack? And she's like, what's that painkiller you just gave me? And then Perry says, her husband says, because you know, black people, we share our meds. It's like, you're not supposed to do that. So we have no idea what that medicine was that she took. But it just reminded me of the horrible things that happened in the ER. And just about married couples and what you go through and the things that you experience and see and the adventure of doing life.
Yeah.
With another person.
I can't. Lisa says it was about the $500 dirty shoes.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't understand either. I spent all my life getting those new pair of shoes and trying to keep them as clean as possible for a couple of
years.
You just don't want them to get dirty. And then I met you. And you actually clean tennis shoes.
I clean tennis shoes. Yes, they should
be. On a regular basis.
Sparkling white.
Yes.
I get mad when people in this house walk around with dirty tennis shoes.
I love that. I don't know that. Like, there's stuff to clean your shoes. I thought that was only at the malls when those guys are trying to sell
you. No, I've got all of those. I got the malls guys stuff, and then I got my own stuff.
Wow.
I use these very powerful hospital astringent wipes on them first. Yeah.
It's a whole system you got going on there. You should start your own business.
Shoe cleaning?
Yeah, tennis shoe cleaning business.
Yay.
You could be the East Lake tennis shoe cleaner.
Oh, wow.
You'd come outside.
First, I was the janitor and I got fired. Then I'm the shoe cleaner.
Someday we'll have to tell that story.
I think we did tell that story.
No,
we didn't tell the end.
Yes, we didn't tell the end. The whole thing, one of these days. Anybody need any prayer?
Lisa just gave us one.
Oh.
Can you click on it?
Yes.
The power of gratitude. Praise report for my daughter-in-law to Haley, who just got out of surgery and everything went well. Praise Jesus. Awesome.
Great. How's Pastor Bob's son doing?
Much better. No permanent paralysis. He unfortunately had a fall that he hit his head against a brick fireplace and when he tripped and broke facets of the joints between the spinal bones. Wow. So, and then split a nerve in the neck, so it was spouting blood, but it didn't rupture. Oh, so the vein would have ruptured, he would have died. If he would have broke the bones of the spine, he would have been paralyzed. But he broke the facet joints between the spine.
Wow.
So he had the spine fused together, and his prognosis is great.
Yeah, because he was able to leave the hospital and go to Home Depot or something like that.
Yes, back home. Wow. Running his race. Wow. Yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah, so good for him. Quite grateful for that.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah. Anybody else?
I think one thing, another praise report I want to request that you mention to God is Zara's going to church and then going out to In-N-Out Burger with some of the peeps from her youth group. I think that's
she just got invited awesome. To Ellie's party, but we're supposed to be in Palm Springs. I told them maybe we can get back in time.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. It's like a shift. Remember, was it last night? Was it during Bob's message he was talking about? I've talked about this in business all the time, but not relationship in relationship to our faith. And that is these little tiny shifts can mean so much at the end. Because it's just this little change. A little change can change things immensely down the road. And I think that that's been the great thing for Zara, just these little tiny little shifts here and there has made so much of a difference in her life.
And speaking of that, I just want to share something with the audience because I think it's important for all of us that are raising children. And Lisa, I think of you all the time when I see pictures of your grandchildren. I'm sure your grandkids have wonderful, loving parents, but it is so important for young developing children. So between the ages of 0 to 6 to get proper love and attention. That is what creates executive function. So that is how the child learns to self-regulate, to have empathy, to show compassion as they grow up because they were properly nurtured and therefore they can reciprocate. So my daughter didn't have that growing up. So when she turned 6, 7, 8 years old, she had absolutely no empathy. Like, it used to scare me. I used to talk about this with a therapist all the time. I could cut my finger. I literally cut my finger, was going to the hospital. I was like, Zara, look, oh my God, I cut my finger and I was crying. And she was like, are you going now? Like stone face, not like, are you okay? She didn't even look at it. She just, and it was so strange to me. And so it took a while for me to understand what the therapists were saying, that it's this lack of executive function. So when she came and wrote me, so we got in a little bit of a tussle over the weekend and she wrote me this beautiful letter explaining why she did what she did, that she loves me and she's sorry about how she treated me. And so I was talking in family therapy today to the therapist and I said, you know, I was really worried that she would never develop empathy skills, compassion. And the therapist proceeded to tell me that that can actually be learned. So if you don't pick it up when you're young, it's these incremental steps as children human beings start to feel that they are safe and that they are loved and that they are cared for, they can learn to reciprocate. They learn to open up. They learn to trust. They learn to speak their minds. They learn to care for others, realizing that it's not going to detract. See, because when you're trying to protect yourself because people have abandoned you, you don't give love because you're afraid it's going to not be reciprocated. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
So once you are in loving relationships, you could learn then to give without fear of losing.
Wow.
So keep loving your grandkids, folks, or your children, whatever it may be. And it's so, especially grandparents, I think it's been phenomenal for my daughter to spend time first with her grandfather, now with her grandmother, because that kind of unconditional love, that doting that comes from grandparents, it's very different than parents. Mm-hmm. There's no discipline involved in the grandparenting as it is with parenting, mm-hmm. or less discipline. It's just so important.
for young people's development.
Great information.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
Carrie New says facets hold the spine in place.
Yes. Drama. That's where I have my arthritis and my facet joints.
Fascinating.
Fascinating. Okay, we're going to land the ship. Look, see, our friends joined us even if it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We are off to Zara's last championship finals tomorrow, so we'll be off, but maybe we could try to broadcast.
Yeah, I got my tripod and everything in there. Maybe we can.
Oh, yay, great.
We can do that.
Yeah, we have plenty of time. Okay.
We'll be in Palm Springs.
Yes.
And tonight we're on our lead because we have our community church tonight. So
yes, pray for that too for us, that we grow closer as a community and we learn stuff that is a benefit for all of us.
Yep.
It's awesome.
And through Calvary Chapel East Anaheim. And I think, can they still join if they want to join us tonight?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Karine, you want to jump in the car and come by? Yeah. You're most welcome.
Lisa Wood, anybody?
Yeah.
All right.
Uh-oh.
It's mine. It's Kelly calling.
Dear, you want to hit it so you can. Okay. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to spend time with your sons and daughters. We are grateful that you use these earthen vessels where you have placed your Holy Spirit, that there's no longer an external temple that we must go to sacrifice or to worship you, but you are within us. And we are that holy temple, Lord. We're so grateful. Thank you so much. So thank you so much for faith. Thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we plead the blood over our lives and those of our family members and our loved ones, Lord. And for anyone who may be listening who does not yet know you, Lord, may these words pierce their hearts and that they feel your presence and that they reach out to you and they find a way of learning more about you, Lord. There's so many resources available to humanity these days. People have no excuse not to know you, Lord. And we ask that you meet each and every one of them in a special way, in a miraculous way, so that they know that you are the one true living God. Give blessings, Lord. We raise up Eddie and Carrie, Kate and Lisa, all of our friends that are, and our other friend, Lisa, that is recovering from an illness. Lord, we lift up all of our friends, Jan, that are recovering from illnesses, Lord, and ask for restoration over their bodies and over their health and their loved ones, Lord. We love you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray and that we ask all things. Amen.
Amen. All right, my friends, pray for us for our church tonight. It's our first night. Oops.
First night of the second session.
First night of the second session. We love you guys.
God bless.
Take care.